in ko pridem jaz nazaj, pa te samo stanu, ima tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa tre vrata, ne. In jaz pridem tam, pa prem vrata, pa ne vidiš. Pa tam dol zagledam, zagledam Madonna eno žo.
Riz.
Je bil pa lep, mlad, mlad in tudi siv. Siv, ne ta nemški občaj, črni pa to ne. Prav tista prava volna. Krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiju Študent.
Dragi vsi, nocoj se bomo posvetili ganskemu fenomenu imenovanemu Sakawa. Sakawa v svojem najožjem pomenu pomeni internetne prevare, da bi pa te bile bolj uspešne, se prakticerji Sakave poslužujejo džuđuja oziroma nekakšen ohlapen prevod slovenščino bi bil magija ali čarovništvo. Sakawa povezavi z internetom je dokaj mlad fenomen, vendar pri njemu ne gre samo za akt čarovništva in manipuliranja z internetom, pač pa predstavlja neko večplastnost, ki jo vidimo v današnji ganski družbi. V današnji oddaji bo naša sogovornica Lynette Taylor, antropologinja in raziskovalka digitalnih tehnologij v različnih državah Afrike. Začeli bomo z najpogostejšimi spletnimi prevarami in kako v njihov okvir spada Sakawa.
You can either make friends through dating services or through social networking sites, friends with women and men who live in generally the UK, Australia or the US, and you ask them, once you become friends with them, you try to make them fall in love with you, and then you ask them for money or for gifts. There's a second version where you write letters, which is generally done more by Nigerians, according to the Ghanaians. We've all had these letters saying, you know, I am the wife of the central bank chairman and I need to move $1 million out of the country. Can you help me? And then there's the kind where you actually buy credit cards online and they just work for a couple of days and you can do a variety of scams using those details. And where Sakawa comes in is trying to make any of these scams actually function. In the case of the friendship scam, it's trying to make the person believe you and send you the money or the gifts that you want. With the credit card scam, it's trying to get the credit card to actually work, because a lot of the time the details don't work.
Sakawa je mlad fenomen, ki se je pojavil skupaj z širokopasovnim internetom. O tem pa, da se ni razvijal kot neka izolirana enota in da je na njega vplivalo ogromno stvari, naprej razlagali Lynette Taylor.
I would say, I mean, my interviewees said that it was definitely since about 2007, which maps just about onto when broadband really arrived, in Ghana at least. I would see it, though, as more of a continuum from the internationalization of West African culture. I mean, I see it on a continuum from hip-hop, from gangster movies, from gangster culture in general. I can see all sorts of features of international culture which have made Sakawa possible and have made the imagery around Sakawa possible. So I think it's really multifaceted that way.
Pri Sakavi ne gre za nekaj, kar bi bilo vezano na individualne etnične skupine, pač pa gre za fenomen, ki je bolj vezan na urbani prostor. O tem, odkot izhaja koren besede Sakawa, kaj pravzaprav Sakawa je in za kakšne družbeno groteskne obrede gre pri Sakavi, ponovno razlagali Lynette Taylor.
Tried to sort of trace the origins of the term when I was over there. Sakawa is a Hausa term. Hausa is a very common language in West Africa around the Sahel region. It means to put inside. So it's like, put it inside my pocket, you know, put it in my wallet. And I don't know, I mean, Sakawa is an older word, but it came to be used for internet scamming practices involving witchcraft, I guess in the early 2000s, I would say. It depends where places actually manage to get online. I mean, you can get online with dial-up in the early to mid-2000s in capital cities in South Africa, but a lot of places are only just getting connected now outside the capital. You're right, it is socially grotesque. It involves basically trying to use magic to make sure that whatever scam you're conducting works. And it involves traditional juju practices, which are traditional religion over there. It's funny because the Muslims say, oh, it's all the traditional priests, and then the Christians say, oh, it's the Muslims that are doing it. So everyone's blaming everybody else. And it occupies a very uncertain space culturally, I would say. It involves things like the reports are that young men will go sleep in a coffin overnight and they'll wake up transformed and covered in dollar bills. Or people will not wash for a month or 3 months or not sleep with their girlfriend for a certain period of time. This is basically a prescription that's given you by the fetish priest. And if you do what he says, then the credit card will work or your scam will work. However, the interesting bit is that if you break your promise, if you don't keep to the prescription that the fetish priest gives you, then something very bad happens to you in almost a fairy tale fashion. You know, you turn into a dog, or you run wild and get naked and run through the marketplace screaming and everybody laughs at you. So it's very colorful.
Fantje, ki prakticirajo te spletne prevare, se seveda zavedajo, da je treba ljudi, ki so na drugi strani oceana ali v Evropi, prepričati o tem, da so mogoče zaljubljeni v njih, in morajo jih prepričati v neki svoji avtentičnosti. Zato se mnogokrat poslužujejo prav čarovnije, ker čarovnija je tisto nekaj, kar ti da dodatno moč, da ti prepričaš gospo v Ameriki, ki je stara 50 let, da si ti najboljši in da ona more tebi pošiljati darila. Razlagali Ned Taylor.
There's all kinds of stories and practices involved, and they're getting more colorful and amazing all the time. The way that I would characterize it is that it's really mediating technology through witchcraft, and mediating cultural difference through witchcraft as well. Imagine that you're a young Ghanaian boy, you're 12, 13 years old, and you are trying to make a 50-year-old American woman on Facebook fall madly in love with you and give you enough money that you can make it through school and buy your mom a nice house. So the stakes are very high, but at the same time, probably don't speak perfect English. It's probably quite easy to tell if you're a skeptical woman in America or in the UK that this is not actually a young man who says he is who he is. And so what you need is some magic to help you along the way. And so in a way, it's a bridging cultural distance. It's a way of making that person believe you because you have no really credible way of doing it. You don't sound credible. You are not acting credible. And so if you use magic, then that will bridge the cultural distance. And all of the things that you don't understand about that person, which would normally allow you to be more credible to them, will become real.
Internet predstavlja nekaj modernega, zato se zdi, da čarovnija pravzaprav nima kaj iskati tukaj. Vendar je ravno čarovnija, ta juju, fetišisti, ostajajo neka konstanta v Afriki, kljub kolonializmu, kljub vdorom različnih religij, islama in katolicizma. In ravno ljudje, ki delajo juju in magijo, so tisti, ki pomagajo pri tem, da se te spremembe, ki prihajajo z novimi tehnologijami v Afriko, nekako oblažijo. So tisti, ki razlagajo neke fenomene, ki si jih drugače ljudje sami ne bi mogli razložiti. Nadaljuje li Net?
Profession of being a fetish priest, kind of like the question of whether witchcraft disappears with modernity. Fetish religion is alive and well all over the place. And I mean, I used to see people practicing it in Brooklyn when I lived there. So really, not that much has changed with regard to the practice of that religion. And Sakawa is just one of the ways in which it's used. I mean, if you think about it, in Catholicism, priests can still officially perform exorcisms. You know, like the Catholic Church still, in some dimension, acknowledges the possibility of possession, of evil magic, of a priest having to go do an exorcism. And, you know, I would say it's similar in West Africa. You know, fetish priests also do very good stuff. They look after communities and they are able to settle anxiety when something bad has happened in a group of people, you know, and they make sense of things which don't always make sense. And every society has a way of doing that. It's just Sakowa is a particular offshoot of that, which is responding to some very rapid and intense changes in society involving technology, involving money, involving a demographic transition from older to younger people. And so what we're seeing is sort of an extreme, extreme version of something which is really very normal and not particularly disruptive in life in West Africa. I think that modernity and witchcraft have always coexisted in every society. And it's just very, very visible in West Africa. I remember I was on a country bus one day going somewhere in the north of Ghana, and there was a guy sitting next to me who was texting on his BlackBerry with one hand, with the other hand was holding a book about how to avoid witchcraft, like how to make sure that people didn't cast evil spells on you. And he was wearing a suit and tie, and he was going to a business meeting. And that, for me, kind of epitomized the West African view of witchcraft. It's like it's completely compatible with everything. There is no reason it's going anywhere anytime soon.
V mestih Gane, na ulicah velikokrat krožijo razne govorice o tem, kakšno življenje živijo ljudje, ki prakticirajo sakavo, neke značilnosti, neki stereotipi. To so seveda za sabo potegnili tudi tiskani mediji, ki so si dali duška s pretiravanjem o tem, kakšen način življenja imajo, za kakšne obrede gre. In bolj podrobno nam bo spet o tem povedala Lynette Taylor.
It's debatable whether you would actually recognize them on the street. I think they would just look like middle-class people as opposed to, you know, unemployed or, you know, completely lower-class people. But there is a myth of an extremely flashy lifestyle, which definitely relates to the image of the Nigerian, which comes from Nigerian movies, you know, Nollywood movies. And Ghana has its own version of Nollywood, you know, and Sakowa plays a big role in those movies as well, as sort of horror comedies about love and magic. So there's a very strong popular imagery of what Sakowa boys look like. They drive big cars, they date beautiful women, and the women are only in it for the money. I mean, every society sort of has its image of the gold digger woman and the man who is engaged in dodgy moral pursuits, you know, and in America, it's probably the mafia. I don't know what it would be elsewhere in Europe, but we all have our cultural signifiers for people who are doing what they shouldn't and profiting by it. And there's also this sense that it's getting out of control and that, you know, people used to be paid back for their ill deeds and that today morality has been turned on its head and people are not getting their just desserts, which, of course, nobody's ever got their just desserts and people have always profited from being bad. But people are attributing this to Sakowa these days.
Govorice o Sakowi so pravzaprav tako prisotne v vsakodnevnem življenju skupnosti v Gani, da je potem v eni fazi to pobrala tudi politika in se je o tem začelo govoriti na nacionalnem nivoju. Razlog za to je predvsem tem, da je Gana ena izmed držav v Afriki, ki ima največ uporabnikov interneta in se je vlada odločila prav načrtno, da bo gradila ekonomijo na tehnologijah povezanih z internetu. Poleg vlade imajo pa problem za Sakowo predvsem starejši, več o tem spet Lynette Taylor.
Totally, there's a lot of rumor and it's happening at different levels, definitely. I mean, Sakowa primarily consists of rumors anyway, I would say. And then, you know, rumors about people having success in scamming in the first place, because it's so unlikely that if you scam that you'll really be successful. And then those rumors are picked up by the community. And then the media picks up on those and you get these crazy, amazing photoshopped images and these posters on the streets, which are kind of a version of a newspaper for people who don't read, which are sort of like almost like biblical parables. And they show you what you shouldn't do. And they show people transforming into animals and running naked and, you know, people being beheaded and these incredibly gory, satanic kind of images. And it's very rich, you know, it's very exciting. It's just like the sort of Nollywood movies. And so the media is playing a huge role in this, absolutely huge. And then on another level, it's picked up by parliamentarians and by elders in society who absolutely exacerbate these rumors by taking them seriously and saying that this is a major social problem. And in fact, internet scamming is definitely a major social problem. But whether Sakowa itself is the problem is another question.
Gre pa pri sakavi za velik moment moralnosti in sicer na večjih nivojih. Tehnično se ljudje, ki prakticirajo sakavo, zavedajo, da je to kriminal, vendar znotraj sveta džudžuja so ta pravila strašno ohlapna. To, kar je mogoče v realnem svetu nemoralno, v svetu magije, pravzaprav je lahko čist normalno in ljudje dovolijo, da se to dogaja. Tretji aspekt tega je pa to, da ljudje, ki prakticirajo sakavo, sploh, ko gre za Evropo in za Ameriko, pridejo v neko joke is on you situacijo, ko si mislijo, vi ste Evropejci, Američani, imate ogromno denarja, imate neke stereotipe v Afriki, ne? Mi se bomo pač malo norčevali z vas, zaradi tega, ker se tudi mi zavedamo tega, kak vi razmišljate o nas.
I would say, first of all, that people that I've interviewed that practice sakawa have a very clear understanding that they are committing crimes, not in the sense of the sakawa, but in the sense of the internet scamming. However, they describe them as victimless crimes because they believe either that the people are so rich they don't miss the money, or they believe that credit cards are insured and therefore it's a victimless crime because the actual person at the other end will get paid back by their bank. So their understanding of it is that it's a victimless crime, it's a lot of fun to do, and it's also this fabulous gamble against the fates and against the universe, and maybe you'll win. It's, you know, it's like going to Vegas. And if you win, then the stakes are very high. It's kind of fantastic. And so the morality gets very mixed up there because people often play on the image in sakawa scams of Africa as a very, very poor, disastrous, dangerous place. And they play on outsiders' perceptions of Africa as a terrible place to live. And when you interview them about it, they actually laugh about this and say, you know, it's so easy to scam people because they all believe that we're starving Ethiopian children. They don't realize that here we are sitting here with technology and proper, you know, decent clothing and a proper city. And we have enough to eat. There is a cultural difference in both directions.
V Zahodnji Afriki trenutno prihaja do različnih novih stvari, ki jih verjetno starejše generacije niso bile navajene. Eno je prepad med razredi, kar pomeni, da imaš v bistvu 10 neverjetno bogatih ljudi, ostali vsi so zelo revni. Potem se uvajajo neke nove tehnologije, ki povzročajo zmedo med starejšimi, mladi jih seveda sprejemajo. In potem še ena zelo pomembna stvar, in to je relacija moči, ki je zelo pomembna v afriških družbah. Tako imenovani big men, to so ljudje, ki imajo veliko denarja in s tem tudi ogromno vpliva in ne puščajo mladim in tistim, ki niso njim dokolen, da bi sploh prišli zraven česarkoli, kar se dogaja v državi. Nadaljuje Linet.
One is consumerism and commodification of culture, which is coming on very fast, you know, what we would term sort of westernization or internationalization of culture, which is causing a huge shift in people's understanding of what is worth and what is moral and what is the right thing to do. You know, perhaps buying a big car is the right thing to do. A lot of religions in West Africa, Pentecostalism particularly, are preaching that God wants you to be rich. And so there's definitely a blending of morality about money and about what is right. Second, there's this phenomenally fast, what I would term technologization, you know, fast-moving adoption of technology in West Africa, which is causing a gulf between the older and the younger, between the richer and the poorer. It's causing a sense of inequality and a sense of poverty. You know, the sense of the digital divide is stronger probably than the digital divide itself. And so people are trying very hard to bridge that, to leap across that divide. And sakawa is one of the tools they're using to do that. And third, West Africa and Africa in general is going through a massive demographic transition where power and influence is really going to pass from the older generation to the younger because the young now massively outnumber the old. And in West Africa, you're generally looking at cultures which are very much based on the authority of the elders. And what sakawa is, the reason there's so much social and political anxiety about it is that it embodies the wild youth, the dangerous, out-of-control youth of Africa. And, you know, they're getting away from us. What are we going to do? How are we going to make the youth behave like they used to? And sakawa is, I mean, it is genuinely a huge phenomenon, but it's also a phenomenon that has meaning beyond its size, I would say, beyond its quantity.
Sacrifice.
Vsakavo se ukvarjajo predvsem mladi. Kategorija mladega človeka pa je v mnogih afriških družbah neka popolnoma nova kategorija. Dosti krat je bilo tako, da si bil otrok in potem si šel skozi obrede prehoda in ko si se vrnil nazaj, si postal moški. Tako da so zdaj mladi ujeti v nek mestni prostor, kjer veljajo popolnoma nedefinirana pravila, ne ve se, kaj točno so njihove obveznosti, ne ve se točno, kako bi potem prišli v ta svet odraslosti. In zaradi tega na Sakavo ne smemo gledati zgolj kot na nek fenomen, ki je povezan z internetnimi prevarami, ampak kot na nekakšen upor in iskanje prostora znotraj ganske družbe, ko gre za mlade ljudi. Več bo komentirala Lynette Taylor.
I think that's spot on. I think it's all sorts of things. I think they're seeing the kind of demographic transition that America saw after the baby boom right after World War II. I mean, the idea of the teenager was really invented in the 1950s and 1960s, and we saw all sorts of cultural insecurity, you know, the film Easy Rider with Marlon Brando. You know, all of those movies that came out about wild, out-of-control youth were about the development of the concept of being a teenager, which also became a sort of consumerist and commodification-type label as well for that generation. And so all sorts of institutions, including the commercial, jumped on that as a new classification of people that they could identify and pin down and sell things to and preach to and moralize about. And we've seen this happening in West Africa as well, just with particular cultural features that belong to West Africa. So I would say, yeah, I mean, Sakawa is way more important than just people conducting witchcraft rituals to try and scam online. The fact that they're doing things online, the fact that they're trying to bring in money, and that they're young. I mean, young people aren't expected to be big earners. You don't get married until quite late in West Africa, usually, because you're expected to support a family. And it's turning society on its head that teenagers are running around with lots of money when these scams actually do work.
Lynette Taylor nadaljuje o tem, zakaj Sakava v bistvu prikazuje o tem, kako so mlade generacije zelo iznajdljive.
I mean, unless you're a victim of these scams, they actually look a lot like development. They're bringing in foreign direct investment. They're teaching technical skills to the young. People are following their dreams. It's just not in a good way. It's a real shame, and it actually demonstrates how entrepreneurial youth are in West Africa and how powerful they are as a social force if used for good. And it's just a huge shame that structurally there are not the resources to employ them right now. And I predict that when those resources come through, then Sakawa will die a natural death. You know, internet scamming will no longer be the best way to make money, because honestly, it's not a very reliable or effective way to make money as it is. It's a massive pyramid scheme that runs on the success of a very few people. And most people make absolutely no money and just spend their lunch money on going online.
Če se vrnemo nazaj k temu bistvu Sakave, čarovništvu in pravilom povezanim z njim, zakaj ljudje to počnejo in kakšne so želje mladih ljudi, da se odločijo, da grejo v nekaj takega in v digitalnih tehnologijah in dejanskih spremembah, ki jih te prenašajo, se upravičujem. In v prostoru, v katerem so mladi v Gani, nam bo še v zadnji izjavi povedala Lynne Taylor.
Well, I think if you look in the literature about witchcraft, magic can have very real physical effects when people believe it. So I don't think it's impossible that there are people acting crazy because they failed to obey fetish priests in the context of Sakawa. I don't think that's unbelievable at all. Because if you believe it enough to pay the money to make it work, then you also believe it enough that to pay the penalty if you don't do it right. But in terms of the rules about spending the money, no, absolutely not. I mean, this is not an altruistic industry we're talking about. But I would say that it's probably very comparable to the hip-hop culture in the U.S. and across the world, I guess, where the discourse is one thing, but the practice may be completely different. I mean, there may well be very nice people who do buy their mother a big house and look after their whole family and send their sister to university. I couldn't really tell you because I haven't actually heard those stories. The stories I have heard are generally that people want to use the money to migrate and become successful in Europe. And the dreams they have for what they will do when they get to Europe or America are really pretty straight down the line. They're about working. They're about sometimes about becoming a star on TV, you know. But they're the same kind of dreams that kids have in Europe and in America. I mean, I think that one way to look at internet scamming in West Africa is that it's a version of trying to send yourself to college, you know. I mean, and it also says something about the way that new digital technologies have penetrated African societies, because really, they haven't caused any structural change yet. I mean, we hear good stories about people being able to use mobile phones to gain market information and improve their, you know, their crop sales and their profits. But for ordinary poorer Africans, the technology doesn't actually, it's changed the way that they live their lives, but it hasn't changed their income level. It hasn't changed anything structural about their society at this point. It hasn't changed how accountable their government is necessarily. It hasn't really changed that much. Just having a mobile phone doesn't get you a job. You know, it doesn't make you secure. It doesn't make you happier. And so Sakawa can also be seen as an expression of that. You know, the image of the young man sitting there all day and all night in an internet cafe trying to scam because he doesn't have a job is actually a very powerful one, and it's no wonder that politicians are reacting to it. And I think part of the anxiety around Sakawa is about a whole generation that is unemployed, you know, or is only employed, underemployed in the informal sector. There's something like 75% informal employment, which means basically unemployment with occasional informal work, particularly in Ghana. And so the image of Sakawa is an image of society not changing enough for this young generation. And the fact that they're responding angrily to this with images of witchcraft and murder and sleeping in coffins, it's not really surprising. I mean, aside from hip-hop, you could compare it to punk in the 1980s in Europe, you know, and the disaffected youth of Germany and the UK and France. I don't think it's that different.
To je bila oddaja o Sakavi, o tehnikah, ki se jih poslužujejo mladi, zaradi tega, da bi imeli možnosti za boljše življenje. Vi pa pazite, v koga se zaljubite preko interneta in se ne odzivajte na razne e-maile dr. Ibrahimov, ki vam ponujajo hiter zaslužek preko Western Uniona. Z vami sem bila Anuša, tehniciral je Jure B. Adio.
In ko pridem jaz nazaj, je pa te samo stan, ima tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa tre vrata, ne. In jaz pridem tam, pa prema vrata, pa meniš. Pa tam dol zagledam Madonna eno žo.
Res.
Je bil pa lep, mlad in to ti siv. Siv, ne ta nemški občaj, črn pa to ne. Prav tista prava volk. Krasno.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiu Študent.